My father's a United Church minister. He's retired now. But that was also another intersection with the power of story, because I would remember watching him as a child in church and being able to hold the audience, congregation's attention, yes, while he would share his message for the day. And I... Joining me today at the Rio Theater in Vancouver is Catherine Law Hadquist. She's an award-winning actor, producer, mentor, role model, and successful entrepreneur. And she's here today to talk about her successful award-winning career and her reoccurring role in Motherland, Fort Salem. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you.
Or Cat.
Or call me Cat. Please, that's a lot of letters in a row, so Cat simplifies everything.
Yeah, so congratulations.
Thank you.
But I'd like to begin, when did your passion for acting begin?
Oh, my passion for acting began, I learned how to read really young. And so by the time I went to school, the teachers would let me read story time. And I remember just how fun it was to have an audience while I was reading these little stories. And I found that really, really fun. I remember that feeling, but never in my experience at that point thought that acting was a possible career. Like, it was always those people from Hollywood on TV, and it wasn't until I was a bit older that I started to discover that the industry was coming here to Vancouver, and I met some people through opportunities I got modeling who were then saying, you know, come and be a stand-in for Holly Robinson on 21 Jump Street, and that's when I got to sort of see how the inner workings of the industry worked and how there were people there who just revealed themselves to guide me to the next step to learn how to become an actor. And so I started studying, and it's been an adventure for the last number of years.
Yes, because you're like multi-talented. You are a Renaissance person. But do you come from a family of like actors?
No. I come from, my father's a United Church minister. He's retired now, but that was also another intersection with the power of story, because I would remember watching him as a child in church and being able to hold the audience, congregation's attention, yes, while he would share his message for the day. And I found that really impactful, how the sharing of stories and the talking and the illustration of principles through parables and other ways of delivering that information changed people, inspired people, entertained people. And I found that really an imprint from, yes, when I was a kid as well. Yeah. My mom is from Jamaica, and they met at UBC, and I think she initially had planned on a career towards law, but we happened, my brothers and I, and so I think that sort of changed her plans along the way. But I think law is also another forum where the power of story is impactful on the outcome. So.
Yes, yeah. And here you are, a successful actor, and as I said at the beginning, you're a role model because you won so many awards, like the Women in Film and the UBC Actor Award, like, you know, sitting on the board. And how does that make you feel to be, you know, representing others and helping others? Because you're an acting coach too.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I first started as in my late teens, you know, different people revealed themselves and said, oh, you need this information, and when I would ask them how I could thank them, because I was, you know, just the beginning of my career and working multiple jobs, yeah, to keep a roof over my head, and they were like, all we ask is that you pay it forward, that you do things and take action to help the next group. And so that first opportunity came when I ran for the board of UBCP when it first started, UBCP Actor Now. But at that point, it was just UBCP, and I was young, and they put out the call for people to help steer the organization, and I thought it would be a really great way to learn about it, too, because I found a lot of my peers focused on the development of their craft and their creativity, but weren't as invested in the knowledge about the commercial side of things. How does this business work? How does one make money? How do the shows get financed? How do films get distributed? All of that, and I found, strangely, the more I learned about that, the less personal I took it as an artist. The more I understood the industrial side of storytelling, the more I felt free to create because I was pitching to a business as opposed to being assessed on my talent per se.
Yes.
And so it was very useful for me that way. And I think it also framed how I choose to coach people and choose to teach, because I think there's so many ways this industry can be taken personally. You can feel like you're not tall enough or not pretty enough, or your size is not what the industry standard is. And I think the more you're freed from that, you can become more creative, because you get to make it about what you want to offer as opposed to what's being demanded from you.
Yes, because transferable skills, you know, producing and acting and acting coach. And also you are the founder of BizBooks.net.
Yeah.
1996, is that correct?
We opened a bricks and mortar bookstore for film, television, and theater on Cordova Street. Our first location was almost at Cordova in Maine, and then we moved to Cordova in Cambie. And then in 2010, we transitioned to what we like to refer to as our online and on-location format, where we have a web store and we ship all over the world, and then we do installation pop-up stores at different events and film festivals and teachers' conferences and all of that, so we can support other teachers in having materials to share with their students as well. We run because my team and myself, everyone works in a community, so my team, we run thedramaclass.com, which is an online workshop space where we do some supplemental knowledge building for actors and writers and other creative professionals. So a lot of our skills as actors are best learned and developed in person, but there's a lot of things around developing a career or developing sort of supplemental knowledge, like how to do an interview or how to prepare for a voiceover audition if you're used to the film and TV world, or how to prepare your taxes as an actor, and things like that that can enhance the creative efforts that are explored in person but can be delivered quite effectively over the internet. So we do that. We also have a number of clients who, students who are from places that don't have in-person acting. So it's also nice to be able to do that. And one of the interesting things about this post-2020 time frame is that we're so used to engaging with people online now in a different way. Yes. So that finding that creative way to do it has been really helpful for folks.
Yes, and being more animated, I guess.
Yeah. And all of our auditions now, I mean, our first round of auditions are all self-tapes, and then you know, we do have Zoom callbacks, but that's using the technology, so delivering skills over that technology is actually not as separate from the actual job the way it might have been a few years ago.
Yes, it's wonderful.
And
can you be a first-time actor, or...
Oh, absolutely. We have all levels, because there's room for everybody. And as people move through, they create space for someone to move in. So, there's room for everybody. And that's part of the exciting time now, too, is that you don't have to be living in a production center. Obviously, it's helpful, but you can start to learn the skills and develop connections to a community and get ready to see if it's something you really want to do before having to move to Vancouver or Calgary or Toronto or Montreal to decide. And then you also have a bit more of a welcome waiting for you when you do, because you've met these people over the internet and can continue that relationship as opposed to be seeking that when you first arrive. I really love what I do, and I feel it sounds like such a cliche, but they say if you enjoy what you do, you don't work a day in your life. And I feel like I do work hard, but I really love it, and so it's not something I'm looking for an escape from. I mean, and I try to make sure to rest, and I have. I married the right person 27 years ago as well, and so he's an amazing support and reminder to me of, like, what are we doing this for? We're doing this to have a great life together, so it's nice to be able to keep that at the forefront of all the things we're doing.
Yeah, that support is so good. And also, I want to go back and congratulate you again on your reoccurring role on Motherland, Fort Salem. Mm-hmm. Now, you play the character Petra Bellwether.
Yes.
And she's a military general, a mentor, and a mother.
Yep, and a daughter.
And
That's
a daughter.
When her mom Minerva shows up.
I mean, what attracted you to the role?
Oh, just so many things. The female-centric storytelling, the matrilineal power of going from mother to daughter, and really having that brought to the forefront. The fact that women's power is in their voices, that we're leaders, and yet that it was still complex in the storytelling. So, you know, as much as my character Petra has her challenges at work, and as being a leader of the military, she also has her daughter to deal with and her mother, and things aren't as she anticipated they might be from time to time, and she has to just lead while making the next best decision. And I think, you know, trying to do better as she knows better is makes her journey really interesting to play, because you never know what's going to get thrown at her and how she's going to navigate it. So it's been really fun.
You enjoyed it.
Oh, I will miss her, but I couldn't be more grateful to her, because she created so many opportunities for me to explore in storytelling and in working with so many amazing people. And I'm so grateful to the producers and the network that, even though they decided this would be our third and final season, they gave us that knowledge at the outset, so we were able to end it in a really satisfying way, because our fans have been so embracing of these stories, and that we got the opportunity to conclude things makes me really excited for a few reasons. One, they get a satisfying ending, but two, with this era of streaming, people can start the series and know that it's not going to just end without a conclusion. So it will be a satisfying thing, I hope people discover in years to come, because I think we really told some amazing stories and showed amazing people.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
I mean, the uniform, I watched the trailer, and you're wearing this uniform. It looks so fantastic. Yeah. How did you want to keep it?
I do have a couple of my uniforms. When everything concluded, there were a number of us who were like, this has been so transformative. And part of that transformation from Kat to Petra would be the donning of those uniforms. And you felt different. You stood a little straighter, you saw a little clearer, you came correctly once you put her on in that way. So it was really meaningful that they gave us the opportunity to get one of our uniforms. So I have my day-to-day uniform and I have my dress uniform, and they have a special place in my home. So
Oh my goodness, you can look at that and just, you know, and like, tell us some of the highlights. Or they're all highlights.
I mean, it was just, it sounds so cliche to say I just worked with some amazing people and we had so much fun. And what I love is that they've started to release some of our blooper reels where you can just see how much laughter we had on set telling these stories. And I'm like, see, you can tell we really did have a great time, because it just sounds so traditional. Oh, we had a lovely time doing it. But we laughed a lot, and I would say that you'd look at the call sheet to see who was going to be in that day, not because you had a preference, but you were getting excited to who you're going to get to see. And especially because we filmed two of our seasons right in the height of the pandemic, it was your social interaction with people. I mean, we were very well cared for, and we were tested, and there were a lot of safety precautions put in place to keep us safe, but it was still, you know, very much a time where we weren't seeing a lot of other people. So it was really meaningful for us to get to connect, and we felt very blessed for having that provided as an opportunity for us during a really challenging time.
It's like a family, right? I was going to ask, like, was it easy to prepare for the role? Like, how to get into the role? Like,
because the characters are written with such texture and such complexity, there's always something that you can kind of identify with from your own life, but also something that makes sense or you get curious about. So in terms of how they're interacting with each other. So I found just keeping an awareness of all the things that had gone before in Petra's life, in terms of her rise through her military career, in terms of her relationship with her mom and her three husbands, and all concurrent, and her daughter and her aspirations for her daughter, but also having to embrace the changes that her daughter's going through on her journey. It made it really interesting just to try and stay in the moment of where the story was, but bringing all those things to inform it. So it was really interesting, because you'd get the new script and you'd be like, what happens next? It was easy to stay engaged that way, because it was just such fun storytelling. So it's a parallel timeline to now, but it's a reimagining of our current day, and the premise is that the Salem witch trials ended with a pact between the leaders of the witch community and the leaders of the American government. And that pact formed created an army of those witches who would be a protection force for the American people. And so, given that that's where the Salem witch trials, we've now come forward in time, and that army has been developed. And the leader of that army, General Sarah Alder, in season one and season two, she also is surrounded by a supernatural protection force known as the Biddies, who have kept her youthful and in power for a couple hundred years. So she would have been in power when I joined the army and when I got called up, because you, if you're of the witch lineage, when you turn 18, you get called up to service. So when I got the call, she would have been in power. She would have been working with my mother. She would have been working with my grandmother. And it is very much a hero figure. And yet I come from a very prominent family line, and my mother has ambitions for me, and I have ambitions for myself, and I have ambitions for my daughter. And that's part of where the story unfolds in terms of my ambitions and watching my daughter and her next generation of witches coming in into the space. So
So
a lot of political intrigue.
Watch it.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, because this TV series, it talks about gender equality, diversity, and empowerment. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was always really amazing to us how many times the storylines of our show directly paralleled what was going on in the world around us, from mask wearing and needing to be vaccinated, and to bodily autonomy, to voices being silenced for their views. Like, there were just so many parallels that over the three seasons, people were like, how did you guys make that happen so that it was written, shot, produced, edited, and airing right when that's what's going on in the world? And it's like, I have no idea, but it's it elevates things to almost a more magical level, because it's so allegorical of what's going on.
Yes. And so, Catherine, your fun, was it a fun moment or memorable moment for Once Upon a Time? Tell us about that.
Oh, my goodness. So I was in the first season, episode 4 of Once Upon a Time. I played Cinderella's fairy godmother and had an amazing time. Was hopeful she might come back, but the show took off and became so popular that you had all of these established stars who wanted to visit that world, and completely understandable. And it was the first time I ever got to wear a ball gown. I was like, I have that costume now too.
You do too.
Absolutely. Gold lamé ball gown. And I'm floating in to help Cinderella get to the ball, and then Rumpelstiltskin shows up and dispatches me rather quickly. But it was an amazing opportunity, both for getting to be a part of the reworking of the canon and exploring how those fairy tales could be changed and work with each other, but also because of what got to happen afterwards. And I was invited to a fan convention in London. And because I'd been a part of that show, and they were gathering, and I was like, are you sure you want me? I'm really not in it that long. I know it's a pivotal character from the original works, but, and they're like, nope, the fans want you to go. And so it was truly a gift to get to go and to see this community of fans who had met from all over the world online and had this story in common, and that their friendships and travel plans and coming together was based on an appreciation for our work as actors. And it didn't matter the size of role or which episode or how long you were there, they just were grateful for this world being created that had given them the sense of community and comfort and entertainment. And I got very curious about, well, what brings you to a fan convention? And they were like, oh, this show, you know, I was in the hospital for 6 weeks recovering from this accident, and this was my weekly respite, and my friends would show up and we'd watch it together. Or another person who, you know, went through chemotherapy, and she and her mom would watch it after each session. Like, and it just became this comfort for people, and it completely transformed my understanding of what we do as actors, because it's one thing to know you're putting out entertainment, but that you're contributing to community and comfort for people just elevates the whole effort to a different place. And so I got over my worrying about whether my role was big enough, and just felt grateful to have been part of that world and to contribute to what made people so happy and ultimately so seen, because seeing how these people greeted each other where they may have only been communicating by email or FaceTime, or that, you know, that there was a real connection. It was really nice to be a part of that. And so it's, from going forward, it helped, again, how I teach, because, you know, a lot of times you're dealing with students who have very small opportunities in terms of the size of the role, but to say you have to know that this means something and that this isn't about you, this is about the story and the audience, and it's a gift you're giving the world, and just do it to the best of your ability. And
yes.
And it was a really great lesson, so I'm really grateful to Once Upon a Time for that.
Is there, you know, science fiction, Chris, is there a detective, you played a detective, is there any other role you would like to play?
Oh, I don't know. Like, for me, it's about what's new and different. So I'm enjoying that I've sort of become known for some Christmas movies or for Petra or for different things that I've done before. I'm looking forward to trying new things. But I also love so much the process of filming. I love meeting the new people. I love the collaboration and the rehearsing of lines. And like, there's just so much about the process that you know, new would be fun, but more would be better. So I just would love to keep having that wonderful experience and keep creating stories that educate or inspire or give comfort or entertainment to people.
Yeah, all of it. And what is next for you?
Well, I'm doing a couple of episodes on a show I can't talk about because we have a non-disclosure agreement, but I'm excited that is another show that has a really enthusiastic fan base, so that will be fun to get to dip into that world for a few episodes, and then we'll see what happens after that. I'm still auditioning all the time, so we'll see what new opportunity presents and which new people I get to go play with.
That's great. That's wonderful. And if people are interested in taking a class, where can they go?
They can follow me on Instagram, thecatlh. But also the bookstore is bizbooks.net, and the workshop space is thedramaclass.com.
Wonderful. And is there anything else you'd like to add?
Just thank you. Thank you for giving us time to talk about our business and our jobs and why we do this and how we do it. It's really, we're really grateful for you to amplify Motherland and the other things, and to take time to introduce us to people. Thank you so much for your effort.
Thank you.